In our last session, we ended with verse 10 of chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22, verse 10. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. Certainly only a man blind to the current events can look at what's going on and not come to the same conclusion. The time is at hand. Look at the events unfolding in the Middle East and around the world, both spiritually and clearly. The time is ripe. The time is ripe for the events of the end days to begin to unfold. And let me remind you, that begins with the rapture. As it may seem that the return of the Lord is preceding the revelation in by 7 years, is the rapture of the church. As close as it may look like, we're getting close to the tribulation period, indeed, but that is preceded by the rapture of the church. You need to be ready. Two things I have in mind. Number one, you need to have given your heart to Christ. You need to be a believer. Secondly, as a born-again believer, are you ready? That is, are there things he has given to you to do? Are he has responsibilities he's given you to discharge? Have you been faithful in doing those things that he's left to your hand? Close as it may look not, can you really say you are ready? Now, if the rapture is close, and I believe it is, then certainly the time is at hand to bring in the lost, to do our dead level best, gospel to those people that we know to be unconverted. Now, as we continue here then in verse 11, He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Now, as we look at that verse in the context here, you think, well, what in the world, what's this about? What we're looking at here, my friend, is the fact that there is a choice that once made is irrevocable. This decision concerning your relationship with Jesus Christ is going to have eternal and irrevocable consequences. You'll note here, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. If you've decided you don't want anything to do with God, and you've convinced God that you have no intention of ever accepting Christ as Savior, oh, well, you go ahead, you go right on the way you are, because the decision once made. Now look, there are people who say foolish things in the heat of the moment, under the spur of emotional stress, will say things, even to the point of cursing God, that under different settings and time to cool off, you begin to look back at what you said and you wish you hadn't, and you take it to the Lord and you say, Lord, you know, I didn't mean that. Now, there comes a point, though. There comes a point when, as God says back in the book of Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with man. The old-timers used to sing an invitation song. You don't hear it much anymore because it's not politically correct. It's not anything you can shake a tambourine to. There's a line that's been drawn for rejecting your Lord. And the song goes on. Even now it may be that that line you have crossed. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? And the chorus takes off. Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Though you gain the whole world for your own. My friend, it's a very serious thing. But you say, well, I've been saved. No, I'm not worried about that. All right, then he that is just, let him be just still. If he's righteous, let him be righteous still. He that's holy, let him be holy still. Don't back away from that. But you see, as long as there's life, there is hope. As long as there's the possibility of having an opportunity to get saved, when you die, that decision is irrevocable. What you have done in life, you say, well, I'm going to someday. But if you die before you do give your heart to Christ, you see, there's no second chance. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua challenged the people. How long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If Baal, then serve Baal. Elijah challenged the Israelites. You see, there is the question, you know, which side are you on? Which way are you going to jump? And there is a decision to be made, heaven or hell, Christ or not, which will it be? Now, if you've made that decision, if you accepted the Lord as your Savior, all well and good. It's well with your soul, but there are many who have yet to hear. And if they die without Christ, the die is cast. The decision is made. There will be no second opportunity. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and so it will be. Behold, verse 12, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Here in the book of Revelation, this expression, I am Alpha and Omega, occurs three times only. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, Revelation chapter 21, verse 6, and Revelation 22, 13. The first and the last occurs four times. Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, and also in verse 17 of chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 8, chapter 22, verse 13. The phraseology, the beginning and the end, occurs only twice. In verse 6 in chapter 21, and here in verse 13 in chapter 22. I come quickly. Literally, I am coming quickly. This is not a long, drawn-out procedure. You'll notice this is the second time that this has been said. In verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Here again, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Again, this is not a long eons spanning time or process. I come quickly. The advent of the Lord is described in one passage as the lightning shineth from the east to the west, even so shall the coming of the Lord be. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it's a split second, a nanosecond, a picosecond, so quickly. He's here, and you're either ready or you're not. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to eat. The implication is, have right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates of the city. Another translation, a literal translation perhaps, in verse 14, blessed are the ones washing the robes of them in order that the authority of them will be over the tree of life. It's a good bit more expanded than what you see here in verse 14, but that's the idea here. Now, as we continue, he says here in verse 15, for without, that is outside the city, the New Jerusalem, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and adulterers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus. You'll note here that there are some things that kind of stand out as we look at chapter 22. I have in my study a book written by Dr. Stuart Custer. It is entitled From Patmos to Paradise. It's a commentary on the Book of Revelation by Stuart Custer. He makes the point that chapter 1, Revelation, is introduced by John with a series of, seven things, a sevenfold introduction. And he points them out as an introduction of purpose, a blessing for those in verse 3 who read and hear, a greeting, John's testimony, the declaration of the Alpha and the Omega, the commission, right to the seven churches of Asia, and a description then of the scene that John sees. Now, as Custer looks at this last chapter, he makes this statement. Just as John began his book with a sevenfold introduction, so he formally closes with a double sevenfold conclusion, reinforcing what he said. He takes many of the themes of the introduction and enlarges and applies them in this conclusion. And of these things, we can look at, and I'll just simply, I think they're worth taking the time to look at, and so I'll give them to you. And perhaps we'll come back to them, perhaps not, depending on the time. But I'll just simply read them off in order. The testimony of John, as he begins in verse 8, he identifies himself in the introduction in verse 1 of chapter 1, and he goes on. There's the angelic correction. You'll note here in this chapter, "See thou do it not," in verse 9. As we move on, the angelic command, seal not the words, the prophecy of the scroll, the permanent choice, we looked here in verse 11 at that. There is the reward. He speaks of, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me." We see the identification once again, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." The benediction on the redeemed, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city," in verse 14. That is an expanded translation there because it does show up in the implication in the Greek language. But let's go on. The warning against sin and fellowship with sinners, outsider dogs, etc. The testimony of Jesus. "I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify these things to you on the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the shining morning star." Number 10 was the invitation. "The Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that hears say, Come." Number 11, the warning against adding to the Scripture. "I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add unto him, add upon him, the plagues that are written in this book." Now, this word Custer mentions, and I re-emphasize it. He's talking here about the deliberate falsification, adding something deliberately. It's not an accident, but rather something that's deliberately inserted. And there's a warning against omission. Anyone who deletes anything from it will be deleted from the Book of Life. The closing invitation, "Come, Lord Jesus," and the last benediction, "The grace of our Lord Jesus be with all." Now, my time is gone. We are not finished, but we are rapidly approaching the conclusion of the study. I'll ask you to join me next time as we continue here. Have a Bible, and we'll see together what the Bible says.